Hi, I'm Greg Barr, Senior Pastor of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. For nearly 7 years, I've looked forward to connecting with you by radio each Sunday morning. But I'm excited to tell you that there are even easier ways to worship with us. For example, you can join us on Facebook Live at 10:30 Sunday mornings and worship with us as we live stream the service. Or through Facebook, you can watch the service during the week whenever it's convenient for you. You'll find information on our website, www.smbclouisville.org. At the bottom of the page, you'll see an icon which links to Facebook. And we're working on some even easier ways to help you connect more in the weeks ahead. We'll be announcing these on Facebook and on Twitter, where I'm at SMBCGreg. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to being back with you soon.
Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr's message is entitled, A Mother's Legacy. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the Sanctuary Choir and Church Orchestra with Far Above All Riches.
familiar with the brand Life is Good? Have you seen their stuff? It's a brand that's built around optimism. They have t-shirts and hats and mugs and about anything else you could print stuff on. A lot of them bearing a stick figure named Jake with the phrase, life is good. And it's one of those kinds of things when you see it at the store and you recognize these guys are making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on this stuff. And you're thinking, why did I not think of that myself? Where do these ideas come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. The founders of the company, Bert and John Jacobs, grew up in a lower middle class family in Boston. And when they were in elementary school, they were saying in an interview, in elementary school, their parents were involved in a serious automobile accident. Their father lost the use of one of his hands. And the result of that, the pain, the physical pain, the emotional pain of that loss for him, turned him into an angry and bitter person. He never got over the pain of having to deal with that. And they remember as they were growing up, they were in elementary school when that happened. And what they remember from that point on in their childhood years and growing up was a lot of yelling around the house. Their mother was also in the accident. She suffered some broken bones, but fully recovered. But she had a different philosophy of life. She had a whole different attitude about life. Every night at dinner, when the six of the children and the mother and father would gather at the family table and have dinner together, she would ask them, what good thing happened to you today? And each of the six children would have to respond with something good that happened to them today. Her motto was, life is good. Bert and John, looking back on their childhood, said that their mother taught them an important lesson, and that is that being happy is not dependent on your circumstances. That optimism is a choice that you can make, a courageous choice that you can make, especially in the face of adversity. A mother's lesson, a mother's legacy. How do you want to be remembered? What kind of influence do you want to have over the next generation? Whether you're in school or you're a senior adult, what kind of legacy is it that you want to leave with your life? How do you want those who come after you to remember you? The lessons that you taught them in life. All too often I sit with family. I sit with a family after the loss of a mother, a father, a grandparent, a sibling, and talk to them about the shape of a funeral service. And in those conversations, I try to ask some questions that allow people to tell me more about the impact of their loved one's life. And you know, it's interesting that a lot of the stuff we think is so important, things like money and titles and stuff, all of that rarely comes up. You know what they talk about? They talk about relationships. They tell stories. They tell stories that reveal the character of a person and reveal the impact of their lives. How do you want to be remembered? Now, I don't want to make this Mother's Day an emotional downer, but I do want us to begin to think, to live intentionally, to begin to live more thoughtfully, thinking about the impact that we make on the people around us, the way that our attitudes and our actions shape the people in our lives, thinking about how do we want to leave a legacy. Now, I'm in a rather unique position on Mother's Day because my mother is sitting right there. I stand up here and talk every Sunday morning, and she's in the congregation, so I always have to be careful what I say. Yeah. Because I'll hear about it. But anyway, as I think about the impact my mother's made on my life, as I think about some of the lessons she's taught me about life, one of the lessons I think that she's taught me in life is a lesson of perseverance, because she's modeled that for me. She taught me and modeled me not to give up, even when things are difficult. Even when it would be easier to quit. She grew up in a family of modest means. I expect that even then they would have qualified for government assistance, but her father would have been far too proud to have ever received anybody's help. My grandfather was a cooper. He made bourbon barrels for a living. Worked for a company here in town making bourbon barrels. My grandmother, as I recall from growing up, at some point in my life, she began working as an aide in an extended care facility. They had six children, and life was hard. They didn't have much. My mom was the oldest of the six, and so she had some responsibility in helping raise the others. Now, she was the first in her family to go to college. She was the only one of her siblings to go to college. She started at Campbellsville, and after going to Campbellsville a bit, dropped out in order. Oh, there she is right there. I didn't see she was on the screen. I'm like Tim now. Whoops, there's a bird. Sorry. I'll pay for that. She dropped out of college to get married and to start a family. And after my sister and I were born, she went back and finished college. She attained two graduate degrees and built a career. As long as I can remember, my mother worked in schools. She worked in the school system all of her career. As long as I remember, she balanced working in the marketplace and raising her family. And I don't recall that my sister and I ever felt neglected in that process. That she was fully present with us when she was with us. She worked in schools, as I said, all of her life, as only the second woman to ever be appointed principal of a school in our school district. She had a need to prove herself, and she did. She eventually would become the leader of elementary school principals in the state, and was at one point selected Kentucky's Principal of the Year. As many of you have experienced, she's a great encourager. Some of you have experienced that as well. She always seems to find something positive to say about people. I think it was from her that I learned that if you're going to make a mistake with people, you ought to err on the side of grace. To give people a second chance. And to see something good in them instead of seeing something bad. A lot of who I am, I attribute to the influence of my mother and my father. So let me ask you again, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want people who come behind you to say was your legacy in their lives? Are you going to be the angry father that everybody tried to avoid? Or will you be the person who tried to teach their children that life is good? And that dreams can come true? That faith is worth living for? Well, as I look at the opening chapters, the opening words of 2 Timothy, I think this is part of what Paul was getting at as he wrote to his young son in ministry. Let me read you what he wrote in those opening words. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, peace, and mercy from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. As Paul thought about Timothy's life, thought about what he saw in Timothy that was most appealing to him, that faith that he saw blossoming and growing in Timothy's life, he says, Timothy, you know where I first saw that? I saw it in your mother. And I saw it in your grandmother. And because of their influence in your life, because of the legacy that they created for you, I now see that same faith in you. And the word that Paul chooses to use to describe their faith, the faith of his mother and his grandmother, means without hypocrisy. Timothy, that genuine faith, that thing that's the real deal, I saw it in them first. And then they passed it on to you. Faith, it's one of those things that we can pass from generation to generation. We can faith casts a long shadow. And that's what happened in Timothy's life. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Timothy's home life. Paul never mentions, for example, Lois's husband, Timothy's grandmother, or his grandfather, actually, Lois's husband. And some have concluded that because of that culture, because of that era of history where a woman's identity was really tied to the men in her life, since Paul didn't mention anything about a husband, or no one in Scripture mentions anything about a husband for her, that perhaps she was divorced or widowed. But we do know something about Timothy's father. In Acts 16, verse 1, Paul first went to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy's father and mother were in this intercultural relationship. She was Jewish. He was Greek. His mother was a Christian. His father doesn't appear to have been. But regardless, that didn't change Eunice's desire, her hopes, and expectations for her son. She named him Timothy, which means God-fearing. And she expected him to live up to that. See, in ancient Near Eastern culture, a person's name revealed something about their character. And so she names him, she gave him a name that expressed her hopes for his life. But it also set the bar of her expectations. She expected him to grow up with a desire for God, and he lived up to the challenge. And you and I, we might find that our children also live up to the challenge. Live up to the expectations that we set for their lives. If we don't expect much of our children or of other people, if we tell them all the time that they're not worth much, that they'll never amount to much, we may well find that they live up to our expectations. On the other hand, if we set the bar higher for them, if we see in them the gifts and the talents, the abilities that God has given them, and we call those gifts and those strengths out, if we set an appropriate level of challenge for them, which is not so high that it leads to despair, but not so low that it doesn't cause anyone to stretch, but if we set clear expectations and help them move in the directions of their dreams, we may well find that they live up to those expectations as well. You know, as I think about growing up and the things that my mother would get upset with me about, I mean, sure, there were times she'd get upset when I tell her I'd be home, you know, at a certain hour and I didn't go home and that sort of thing. And I heard about that. But as I think about things that she got upset with me about, most of her disappointment, I think, was about my failure to be the best version of me that I could. Whether that was how I treated people or how I approached my schoolwork, I think what she wanted for me was for me to be the best version of me that I could be. And when she saw me wasting my talents, when she saw me wasting my time, she would become disappointed. What kind of vision are you casting for your children? What kind of dreams do they have that you're fanning the fire of, that you're encouraging them to follow? Of course, we have to mix hope with reality at some point. We can't set the bar so high for them that failure is the only option. But if we find an appropriate level of challenge that drives our children to become their very best, and they see that we do that for our own lives, that we set an appropriate level of challenge that pushes us to be our best, then great things can begin to happen. Faith casts a long shadow. What Paul saw in Eunice, what Paul saw in Lois, was what he began to see as young Timothy grew up. Because in part of the expectation and the vision that Eunice had for her son. Faith is a casts a long shadow, but faith is not hereditary. We don't inherit faith from our parents. Faith has to be modeled. Faith has to be taught, and faith has to be caught. So how did that happen in Timothy's family? Let's flip over a page and look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. He says to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, keep on being faithful to what you were taught in all and to what you believed. After all, you know who taught you these things. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise enough to have faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Everything in the Scripture is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. The Scriptures train God's servants to do all kinds of good deeds. Now, was Timothy's faith genetic? No. Was it hereditary? No. But it was modeled for him. From the time he was young, Paul says, you were taught to value the Scripture. You were taught to place priority on God's Word. How did he know that? Was that just something that came naturally to him? No. It's something his grandmother and his mother worked hard to teach him. They modeled for him what it looked like to love God's Word and how to live by it. They showed him what it looked like to follow Jesus, even when there was a price to pay. And so growing up, Paul might not have seen a perfect picture of faith, but he saw one, as Paul indicated, that was without hypocrisy. It was genuine. Now, what would happen if you made those things a priority in your family? What if, as your children, your grandchildren were young, as you read them stories, that you read them stories of the faith, that you read to them stories of Scripture, that help teach them about the heroes of our faith and the life lessons that come from them? What if they saw in you a genuine love for Scripture? As they get older, you might tell them how you came to find and follow Jesus for yourself. Tell them about the impact that made, not just on your life then, but what does it mean to you right now to be a follower of Jesus? Tell them about times when you took steps of faith, when you took a risk of faith, when times when your faith and God's faithfulness converged, and what that looked like and how it felt. Tell them about times when you felt a nudging of the Spirit and you responded, and tell them about the times you felt the Spirit's prompting and refused to move, and the difference it made to listen to God's voice. Proverbs tells us that if we bring up a child in the way they should go when they're older, they'll not depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean that our kids are going to be perfect, that they'll never make mistakes. That's unrealistic. But I think what it does mean is that we can build the foundation of faith in our children's lives. That as they begin to grow, as they begin to build a life, there's a foundation there. And even if they wander away, and we've all heard stories of children who have wandered away from God, but at some point something happened and they were reminded of that simple, sincere faith of a grandparent or a parent, the lessons that their parents and grandparents taught them, the prayers that they heard them pray came back to them, and it turned their heart toward God. Of course, we understand that this is not just about words. For Timothy, it wasn't just the stuff his mother and his grandmother told him he ought to believe. It was what he saw them living. This faith that was genuine and true. For us to tell a child to do as I say and not as I do, that doesn't have much effect on them. For us to lecture children about how they ought to live when we're not living that way, has little effect on their lives. For them to look at us, at whether we're parents or other folks that influence their lives, for them to look at us and see a hypocritical faith might do more damage than it does good, because we see studies and we see examples, even in our own families sometimes, of kids who are wandering away as young adults from the church. And it's not because they've given up on God. It's because what they long for is to see a genuine expression of what it looks like to live a faithful life. Not one that's made up. Not one that where you act one way around a group of people and another way when you're at home. But some genuine expression of the faith. Now that doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but it does mean that we're sincere. And this was the impact of Eunice and Lois's life as Paul talks to Timothy about it. As he looks back on the forces that shaped Timothy's life, he points back again to that faith without hypocrisy. That genuine faith of his mother and his grandmother that shaped his life. How do you want to be remembered? What is it that you want the next generation to say about you? Whether you're a parent or a teacher, whether you're working in Vacation Bible School, or you're coaching an upward team, how do you want to be remembered by children who are coming along after us? Do you want to be one of those people that they point to and say, I'm who I am today in my walk with Christ. I'm who I am today in my life and in my family because of the influence I saw, because of the example I saw in that man or that woman's life. You know, someday our careers will be gone. And everything we accumulated is going to be lost. And what will be left is the legacy we leave for the next generation. The greatest of all compliments is to be remembered for our faith. That we would live in such a way that when our children or our grandchildren or our friends think of us, they think of Jesus. That's leaving a legacy that matters. Let's pray together. God, I am so grateful for parents who taught me lessons of life and faith. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers who invested in me and put up with me. And who pointed me to Jesus. I'm grateful for coaches and for friends in my family who kept pushing and encouraging me to be all I could be. And God, I just pray for us in this room, whether we had those kind of influences in our lives or not, that we would become that kind of influence for others. That we would raise up a generation who loves you with everything they have and all that they are. And when they look back and someone asks, how did you develop a faith like that? That they'll point back to people like us who fanned the fire in them. God, I know that you have great hopes and dreams for this next generation. Help us to shape and influence them for your kingdom, for your sake, for ours as well. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue, between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.